With us tonight into Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. For the sake of time, we're just going to read one verse tonight. I've been told and been reminded and been adjured that I'm on a time frame. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." Father, we thank you tonight again for your word. We thank you for the story of Joshua. We thank you for the conquest of Jericho that you made available and you provided for them, Lord, and it's laid out before us, God. And we have a past that we can go to, and Father, we can see how you've worked so many times. But Lord, as we look to your word tonight, Father, help us, Father, fresh and anew, God, to revisit the pages of this story, God, and just see something else, Father, that is important for us to just hide in our hearts and to instill in our lives, Lord, that we might be the people and we might walk the lives and we might do the things, God, that you'd have us to do. We want to honor you tonight in everything. We praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. Joshua has adjured the people. It means charged them not to rebuild Jericho, not to try to set this city back up. What God has destroyed and what God had seen the purpose and the reason in dismantling, no man should try to put back together. Amen. If God tears it down, don't try to build it back up. Amen. If God removes it, don't try to bring it back. If God cleanses it, don't try to make it dirty and filthy again, but leave it like God has left it. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight for just a few moments, hopefully, on this thought. Don't rebuild the wall. Amen. Joshua said, listen, God has tore the city down. He spared Rahab, probably the only part of that city that didn't fall down. The only part of that wall that wasn't destroyed was the house that Rahab lived in. The Bible says that she lived upon the wall of the city. Her house was upon the wall, and God spared her. Isn't it amazing that God can destroy everything around what is standing there and protect that one who's trusted in him? Amen. Rahab trusted Jesus. She trusted in the Lord. She trusted God. And I tell you what, if you study it out, you find out that Rahab is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior's birth. She was the mother of Boaz, amen, who was the mother of Jesse, who was the mother of David, amen, who is in the line. You can trace that back and find it out. Isn't it good when you trust Jesus, amen, even in the midst of a bunch of heathens? He will protect you. Amen. Amen. But I tell you something else as we look to the word tonight, and he adjures us, and he just compels us, he instructs us, and he wants to emphasize how important it is not to go back and to try to rebuild what God has destroyed, not to rebuild that wall. Amen. And sometimes this message tonight is for primarily the children of God. It's for the saved. It's for the church tonight, not to rebuild the wall. As we look, let's look at some things, three things real quick. And then we'll get on out of here. I think we're going to, we got some fellowship tonight. Amen. We're going to fellowship a while after church tonight. So y'all stick around and have some fellowship with us if you will. Okay. And we're looking forward to that. And everybody's thinking food. So the preacher's got to preach fast. Amen. Because they got food on the mind, food on the brain. Hey, we're having fellowship. That means food. That means something to drink. Let's get on out of here. Amen. I've done been reminded. I've done been instructed. I've done been told. hold. But let's not build some walls. Amen. Let's not build the walls up that God has tore down. The Bible says that God tore that wall down because what was inside of it belonged to Him. What was inside of it, He had claimed. Amen. Do you know that God tore some walls down in your spiritual life when He saved you from the curse of sin? He saved you from the bondage of sin. You were a slave. You were a prisoner. Amen. But He tore the walls down to set you free because what was inside those walls belonged to Him. If you go back and you read, you'll find that it is told to people that what was inside that city that was of value belonged to God. Amen. And God tore the walls down. Amen. And the people were instructed to bring all that belonged to God out of that city. Once the walls were tore down, why in the world, when God sets us free, do we want to build the walls back up and put ourselves back in bondage? Amen. You were special enough, you were precious enough to God that He was willing to go to the greatest lengths to tear the walls of bondage down around about you, and now you want to run back and start building the walls again. It just don't make good sense. Amen. I tell you, child of God, let's not rebuild the walls that God has tore down. Amen. Amen. Let's not go back and revisit them relationships that God has got us out of. Amen. Let's not go back and hang with the old crowds that we used to hang with, the crowds that took us into the worldly places and done the worldly things. Let's not rebuild those walls again. Amen. Let's change the way we look so that we look like we're that special to God. Amen. And we don't look like the world. Amen. Some people get upset. One young lady that has gone to church here posted something here a while back on Facebook. And I said, I would just really like to talk to you and let you understand this. We don't need to build walls back up that God has torn down. He has set you apart. He's made you a peculiar treasure unto Him, a peculiar people. Let's not go back to looking like the world. Amen. Amen. People don't understand that. Why standards? That, you know, churches like ours are struggling right now because we have standards. Amen. And because we preach standards and we try to uphold standards. It's a struggle. Amen. We're constantly having to knock some walls back down. Amen. Amen. We find folks trying to build the walls back. Amen. But we need to have standards. And standards doesn't mean that God don't love the people that don't hold up and uphold the standards. But those that uphold the standards emulate the special treasure that they are unto God. Amen. Amen. Why do we want to build the walls back up that keep us imprisoned? Look at verse number 1. It said the gates of Jericho were locked up. Nobody went in or out. Amen. Even the people that thought they were free were prisoners in the city of Jericho. Amen. They couldn't go in. They couldn't go out. But God wanted what was in there. Amen. And God took care of what was in there. He tore the walls down. Amen. And He told the children of Israel, bring that into the tabernacle. Bring that into the place where we're going to worship. Amen. Because it's mine. Amen. Do you remember the day He tore the walls of sin down in your life? Amen. Do you remember the day He made you His? Amen. You was a prisoner. The walls had surrounded you. They were locked up. You couldn't get out. You couldn't get in. There was no hope. Nobody else could get in to do anything for you. Amen. But then here come King Jesus. Amen. Here come the captain of the Lord's host, amen, and He tore those walls down, amen. I adjure you, amen, as a man of God, I adjure you, amen, according and by the word of God, I adjure you not to build the walls back up again, amen. Let's not build them back up again. God tore them down because you were special. He tore those walls down in your life so that He could get to you, so that He could save you, so that He could claim you as His own. And we don't need to go back and build the things back up. There's some things that we allow to get us and to have us to start building. And when you see those buildings, you know, I got a bird, a barn swallow. It gets in my barn. And they're nasty. They come in, they make them a mud nest up in the rafters or something. I got one that just chose a light. And then they make a mess all over the place. And they just make a mess all over the floor. And it's just constant mess. I've got one. I've tore that nest down three times. I had Josh tear it down yesterday again. That sucker keeps coming back and keeps building that nest. He keeps building that wall. He hasn't got the message. Amen. That he's not wanted there. Amen. We need to get the message across in our spiritual lives that the devil is not welcome there. Amen. We don't want him coming in and have him start us building walls again that we have tore down. Walls of doubt, walls of fear, walls of sin, walls of questioning God's word. Let's just run him plumb on out of the place. And when he comes in and starts building, let's just tear down whatever he starts again in our lives. Amen. Don't build the walls up again, because God has chosen what was inside for himself. Don't build the walls up again, because God tore down the walls of Jericho to remove a hindrance that was in their lives, to remove a hindrance that was going to stand before them. If they would have went on and circumvented Jericho, there would have always been the enemy behind them. The enemy would have always been there. The most formidable city in the area, in that part of the country, the part of the world, would have still remained. And the people who didn't love the Lord would have still been there. But God tore it down. Amen. He tore it down. He helped him as they came into the promised land to be reminded that he was there to fight for them. And he tore the walls of Jericho down. He removed the hindrance that was there. Amen. When we start building walls back up again, we start putting hindrances and stumbling blocks in our way. Amen. He removed what was behind them, because he knew if he didn't get it out of the way, it would always be a thorn in the flesh. Amen. You know, when we go to God and we give things to the Lord, we say, Lord, forgive me of this. Lord, forgive me of this. I'm guilty. The Bible talks about over in Hebrews our besetting sins. All of us have our besetting sins. Amen. Your besetting sins are a little different than my besetting sins, but I know you got them. None of us are exempt from them. We all have those besetting sins. Amen. Amen. Some of us were just grumpy and miserable to get along with. That's the besetting sin. Amen. So some of us are doing things. God will forgive you of it. Don't worry. Amen. God will forgive us of our besetting sins, no matter what they are. Amen. And who they are. Amen. So some of us, we got things in the world that they got a tether on us, and they draw us into them. They draw us back to them all the time. Amen. So some of us, you know, we got that sin of greed. We won't share anything with anybody. Amen. Man, I can hit the targets. I got them down, you know. But we all have our little besetting sins that God knows we have. And we go to God and we say, God, forgive me of this. God, forgive me of this. And then we go right back to doing the same thing. Amen. We knew our attitude caused someone to get hurt. We was just a miserable individual and blah, blah, blah. And we hurt somebody's feelings and we ask God to forgive it. But we go on being the same old miserable individual that we was to begin with. Yeah. Amen. We have a problem. Some folks have some real serious problems with addictions of all different kinds. Some are drugs. Some are alcohol. Some are sex. Some are just money. They're addicted to money and addicted to things. And they seek after these things. And they put these things before God. And they put these things before God's work. They put these things before God's people and before everything else. And it becomes a hindrance in their life. And you ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you get over this, and you go on right back and doing the same things. You know what you're doing? You're building the walls up again. Amen. When God has forgiven you of this thing, when you've asked God for deliverance from something, why don't you take the deliverance that God has given you and go on and move forward and quit allowing these things to be hindrances in your life? Because when you build these walls and when you build these imprisonments around around you, it's a hindrance to you doing anything. It's a hindrance to your testimony. Amen. It's a hindrance to the work of the Lord that He has for you to do. It's a hindrance in everything in your life. And your testimony can be destroyed in an instant by the hindrances that we allow to grow and to be built back that God has removed. In Galatians, Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't go back and start building the walls around yourself again. Amen. Don't put yourself back in bondage again. Don't put yourself back into this place where you're going to be hindered by the sins that are besetting you again. Ask God to deliver you. And when God delivers you, get as far away from that thing as you can. Amen. Don't go back a dabbling in it. You know, you can't go back and start dabbling in something. You can't play with fire and not get burned. Amen. You can't do it. Amen. You can't take fire into your bosom and not get burned. Amen. In other words, you try to fool around and say, well, I can handle this. I can handle this. You know, folks think they can handle drugs and alcohol. And before you know it, it's got a hold on them. Before you know it, it's destroyed their lives. Young people think they can handle sex before marriage. Amen. And before you know it, they're in a situation that they don't want to be in. They find themselves in a place where they don't want to be. Husbands and wives think they can dabble with the friends that they have at work, and they can confide in the friends, and they start gradually and slowly committing adultery. You know, adultery doesn't begin at sex. Adultery begins way before sex. Amen. When you start trusting someone else, when you start placing them in the place or telling them the things that only your spouse, your loved one should be knowing, and they think they can dabble with it a little bit, and I can just go this far. And before you know it, they went one step too far. Amen. You see, when God has delivered you and God has brought you away, don't go back and don't go play in the rubble. Amen. Don't start saying, well, I could take this and maybe I could build this out of it. Don't try to rebuild it. Leave it where God has laid it. Amen? God has tore it down. God has destroyed it. Leave it there. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, you can't rebuild what God has torn down without it costing you greatly. Look at what it says right here in chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundations thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. When we start dabbling with sin in our Christian life, when we start fooling with sin in our Christian life, we're on dangerous ground. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Man, you see people all the time, well, I'm a Christian, and they go around talking about how they're a Christian, and then, man, the ones on Facebook amaze me. I mean, Facebook is just the great revealer of all times, amen? You know, I'm a Christian, but, man, we're down here at the bar tonight doing this. I'm a Christian, but so-and-so done me wrong, and blankety-blank, blank, 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 blank. You can't even repeat what they've got written on their Facebook page. I'm a Christian, but you see them doing this, and I'm a Christian, and you tell people, well, yeah, so-and-so's a Christian. Oh, really? Oh, really? You could have fooled me. You see, when we attempt to rebuild the walls that God has torn down, and we start dabbling in sin, there's a great cost to be paid. He said he would lay the foundation in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Some 450 or so years after the destruction of Jericho. Over in 1 Kings chapter 16, we read about a man by the name of Ahab. And the Bible says this, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him." Now look, I just read this portion of it. Now there's more of it to go. You know, here is an evil king. He's done more to anger God than all the kings that were before him. He's evil. Everything about the man is evil. Everything he does is evil. And that evil has an influence on all those that are around him. In his days, in the days of Ahab, in the days of all this sin that's going on, in the days of all this wickedness that's in the land, in his days, Dekeel the Bethlehemite built Jericho. He laid the foundation in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, when it says that he laid the foundation in his firstborn, it means that his child died. His firstborn son was taken from him. When he set the gates up, in his youngest son, his son was taken from him. Joshua adjured the people before the Lord not to rebuild the city because it would be a great cost. When we go back and we try to rebuild the walls of sin that God has tore down around us, it comes at a great cost. Amen. It comes at a cost most people are unwilling to pay, and most people never thought that it would cost them. It cost your testimony, amen, before the world, and people will just look at you. People will never have confidence in you as a child of God. You try to witness to people and tell people something, and they, yeah, this goes in one ear, one out the other. Why? Because in their eyes, you're a hypocrite. Amen? In their eyes, you're telling them to do one thing, but you're doing something else, even though you only done it one time. Amen? And that's the danger. That's what the danger of sin in our lives. It can cost you your testimony. It can cost a ministry. Amen? Many a man of God has fallen from the ministry that God has put him in because he went back and he tried to rebuild some walls of sin that he should have left alone. Amen? Many people that God has called into a ministry in their church have lost their ability to be effective in the ministry that God had called them to, whether it's working with children, whether it's working with seniors, whether it's working with people that have addictions, whether it's winning souls and door-to-door witnessing, whatever it is. But because they allowed sin to come into their life and they started to try to rebuild walls that God had tore down, they're no longer usable in the ministry. Amen? It can cost a soul that was looking to you. As an example, sometimes the only Bible anybody sees is you. And you start building the walls of sin back up. Amen? And a soul that was looking to you and was depending on you. And I know you're only human. I know you're only flesh. But because you let yourself get consumed with rebuilding the walls of sin, some soul is going to slip off into eternity. Amen. And one day you'll stand in judgment and give an account for that soul, for that life. You'll give an account for that life that you lived before him. It can cost you your family. Kids look at their parents. Say, I don't need what you've got. Amen. You're no better than anybody else. You don't do no different than what anybody else does. Amen. You just talk a big talk, but you don't walk the walk. It costs your family. It can cost your friends. You see, trying to rebuild the walls that God has torn down in your life will cost you more than you ever dreamed of. The old saying says, sin will take you further than you want to go. Amen. Sin. Sin is the walls that God has tore down in our lives. And when we try to rebuild those walls, it has an adverse effect in our Christian walk. It's a hindrance. It robs God of what's due Him. Our lives are to be lived in a manner that we honor and glorify God. But when we allow sin in, we can't do that. The hindrances that sin has brought in our lives and the way that it drags us down rears its head again. And you're stumbling over things that you were once able to walk over because God had torn them down. It's costing you more. It's costing you more than what you thought it was going to cost. I didn't realize I'd lose my family. I didn't realize I'd lose my friends. I didn't realize I'd lose my peace and my joy of serving the Lord. I didn't realize you should have. Because God has taught us in His Word the destructive nature of sin. And when we try to rebuild those walls, it will do nothing but destroy our Christian life. For 450 years, folks let the walls of Jericho lay in ruins. But someone come along and tried to redo what God had undone. And friend, when you try to redo what God has undone, you'll find yourself in great difficulty. Amen. Tonight as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.